You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. On today's show, we're going to begin a new series, and it is an annual series before every season where I go through each position group and rank the teams in the National League East. So today's show is on the outfields, and I will give you what I believe is the best outfield in the division. Then, throughout the next few weeks, as we head into opening day, we'll do an episode on starting pitching, we will do one on bullpen, infield, and then finally one on the benches once those get set as rosters are announced. And I'll even include backstops in that as well. It is a graded system. 5 points going to the team with the best outfield, down to 1 point for the worst. You add them all up together, and at the end of this exercise, we will have the team that should be favorited to win the National League East. So in the first segment today, I'm just going to break down what the starting outfield should be for each team and my top 10 list of the best 10 outfielders in this division. Then in the second segment, I will talk about the two teams who I believe have the worst outfields in this division. In the final segment, I will talk about the top three. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMorizeOnline.com. So let's start talking about who will be starting in these outfields come opening day. We talked to Dylan Short last week as part of Division Day on Wednesday, and he was talking about Christian Pache as the projected starting center fielder. So we'll take his word for it and say that it's going to be Pache in center. I thought it was Patchy. I'll be completely honest here. P-A-C-H-E. I could have sworn it was Patchy. But Dylan called him Pache, so that's what we're going to roll with. But it's going to be a speed bump for me for a few weeks until I really get that iron into my head. Anyway, alongside him, you'll have Marcelo Zuna, who was a DH last year, has to play left now, and Ronald Acuna Jr. Ender Inciarte could be the starting center fielder if he takes that job away from Pache. But again, for now, we will project this as if the youngster gets the job. Obviously, we know what the Mets alignment's going to be. Dom in left, Nimmo in center, Conforto in right. The Nationals added Kyle Schwarber. I forgot all about that. He will be their left fielder. Victor Robles in center, Juan Soto in right. For the Phillies, it is likely to be Andrew McCutchen. Scott Kingery is projected to be their opening day center fielder. He's played all over the diamond throughout his career, but with an infield that includes Didi Gregorius, Gene Segura, Alec Bohm, the third baseman was a rookie last year, and Rhys Hoskins, he will be in outfield this year, and then you have Bryce Harper in right. You go to the Marlins, you got Corey Dickerson, who was their big offseason addition prior to the 2020 season. Starling Marte, their big trade acquisition last year in center, and then Adam Duvall, this offseason's big addition, rounding out their outfield. Now, before we go team by team and really break this down, I just wanted to look at these names and give my gut reaction top 10. And through digging into the numbers, I still feel confident in my gut reaction top 10 going through this list when it comes to the best outfielders in this division. Number one, I have Juan Soto. Now, that is simply because I believe this guy might be the best hitter in this division. We'll talk about the stats once we get into the Nationals outfield, but the guy is unbelievable offensively, and he has enough athleticism that I think he can track to be a little bit better than he has been either in right field or in left. But with Schwarber, I'm assuming he's going to play right. Now, Ronald Acuña Jr., I ranked as the second best outfielder in this division. And he could be, or he has a strong case, I should say, to be number one. Because he is really the five-tool guy in the bunch. He's a guy who does everything very well. So I could make an argument for him. I just thought the bat ultimately tipped the scales to Soto. Number three, I had Bryce Harper. As much as I want to put Conforto ahead of him, Harper has the track record. Harper is still elite as much as everyone hates him. So I'm not going to take his personality into account. I mean, personally, I actually don't mind Bryce Harper as a personality. I think he's one of those stars who makes the game better because he's so interesting. And so I think Harper gets a little bit of a bad rap, but I have him as the third best outfielder in this division. And you know what? He still could produce the best season, as could Michael Conforto, who I had ranked number four. Now, number five, I put Marcell Ozuna, but I was very close to putting Nimmo ahead of him because Ozuna now has to play the outfield again, and he is not a good outfielder anymore, but he was a near MVP candidate last year offensively, so I gave him the nod. Then I have Nimmo sixth. I really do believe Nimmo's going to have a big season from there. I had Starling Marte seventh because of his overall impact. I think Dominic Smith is a better hitter, and that's why I have him eighth, but Marte does bring you some pretty solid defense out in center field. And from there, after Smith at eight, I had Andrew McCutchen as the ninth best outfielder in this division because I still think he has at least one more good year left where he can be a pretty decent overall player. The defense really took a hit last year, so that's a concern for the Phillies. But I still think in that small ballpark, he can produce some pretty big numbers if he's healthy across the 2021 season. And finally, based on defense alone, I had Victor Robles as the 10th best outfielder in this division. Maybe Pache passes him up with a big first full season, but Robles has been absolutely elite out there in center field for the Nationals. And really, when you look at the two guys next to him, with Schwarber and Soto, he's going to have his work cut out for him this season. Now, before we go team by team, I just want to explain the two kind of key metrics that I looked at to grade out these players. The first one is weighted on base average, or WOBA. I've talked about this before, but in case you weren't listening on those episodes, this is kind of the real overall encompassing metric that people look at when it comes to measuring hitters. Nowadays, Fangraphs says it combines all the different aspects of hitting into one metric, weighting each of them in proportion to their actual run value. While batting average, on base percentage, and slugging percentage fall short in accuracy and scope, WOBA measures and captures offensive value more accurately and comprehensively. The other stat is weighted runs created plus, or WRC plus, which measures hitters on a league average of 100. That's kind of the boiled down version of what that metric means. If a batter has a 123 WRC plus, that means they're kind of 23 points better than your league average batter. So we're going to talk about those metrics, grade out these different outfields, and rank them in just a minute. But if you're going to repair and maintain your car, you're probably trying to save money that you can use for other important things like your mortgage or food. So why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, maybe even 100% more for the exact same auto parts that are changed to our new car dealership? Well, you can just go to rockauto.com, a family business that's been serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. They have everything you could want, from engine control modules to brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks and have it delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right Locked On in there, how'd you hear about us, Box? So they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliable low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Betting on the Mets does not have to be a guessing game anymore. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day by subscribing to Locked On Bets, brought to you by BetOnline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so let's kick off this exercise talking about the two outfields that I think are the worst in this division, although they each have some talent, and that is the Philadelphia Phillies and the Miami Marlins. Now, I'll start with Philly. Andrew McCutchen is a big question mark for me because in 2019, he was still a really good offensive player. Hit .256, had a .378 on-base percentage, a .457 slugging percentage, a 121 WRC plus, a 358 WOBA. He was a 1.5 WAR player according to Fangraphs, but that was over 59 games. So we don't know what it could have been across the full season. I believe he tore his ACL that year. That's what cut his season short. Then in 2020, he started to show his age a bit, but it's such a small sample size weird year that I don't know what to take from it. But you look at his WOBA, it dropped 31 points down to .327. His WRC plus dropped 18 points to .103. His WAR was minus .2. His outs above average across more playing time in 2019 was minus -2. And then in 2020, it was minus -4. So I just don't know exactly how to grade him out here, but I'm worried that 34 years old, I guess I shouldn't be worried. It's a Mets division rival. But for the player, I'm worried that he's getting to the stage of his career where he is well into his 30s and are the best years behind him. At the same time, I ranked him as the ninth best outfielder in this division because as a former MVP, when you watch the guy play, even though the bat speed isn't where it once was, where no matter who was on the mound, he could, you know, turn on anyone at any time and hit home runs, I still look at this guy and I say, you know what? He is a really smart ball player who can have a really nice season if he gets into a groove. He's playing in a very hitter-friendly ballpark. I still like Andrew McCutchen. So I look at him and I say, can he be above average for them? Yes. Then we go to Scott Kingery, though. And this is the big question mark. He's a former top prospect. He was one of the first guys that got a major league contract before making his major league debut, signing that multi-year deal. A guy who they projected to be a super utility guy that could play all over the place. And now, because of all the talent they have in the infield, it looks like he's going to be their center fielder. And I don't think anyone has confidence that he's going to be able to produce after what he did in 2020. Where he had a paltry .227 WOBA and a .37 WRC plus, was a minus .6 when it came to WAR. Just not good. Now, you look at 2019, and there was some optimism. He wasn't great. Batted .258 with a .315 on base percentage, but had an encouraging .474 slugging percentage. His WOBA was .329. He had a .101 WRC plus. He was about league average offensively that year, and he's a guy who can bring a pretty good glove wherever you put him. In 2019, he was worth 3 outs above average in the outfield on 139 attempts, and this past season, his sprint speed was in the 91st percentile. So he's an athlete. He's a guy that at some point could pop. I'm just not counting on it. You go to Bryce Harper, and I mean, I'm sorry, the guy is still one of the better players in baseball. He hit .260 with a .372 on base percentage and a .510 slugging percentage in 2019 with a .365 WOBA and a .125 WRC plus. He had a 4.6 WAR that season. Then in 2020, he had even better numbers to some extent with a .400 WOBA, .151 WRC plus, 1.6 WAR across the 60-game season. When it comes to his defense, you never quite know what you're going to get. 2019, he was worth 10 defensive runs saved. 2020, that was minus -1. I still look at him as a guy with a big arm that can play a pretty solid right field, especially at Citizens Bank Park. He is the outfielder that might tip the scale and give the Phillies the edge over the Marlins. But then you talk about Miami, and it's a solid group. You have Corey Dickerson, who in 2019 was a very good offensive player with a 367 WOBA and a 127 WRC+. His WAR was 1 that year. This past season, his first year in Miami, not as good. His WOBA dropped all the way down to 308. 96 was the WRC+, was barely above a league average player when it comes to WAR. But you look at the defense, he was in the 98th percentile in 2020 when it came to outfield jump. So he's a guy that can play a pretty solid left field for the Marlins. 31 years old. I would say they'll probably get league average production from Dickerson. Starling Marte is supposed to be the best player on the Marlins this year. A guy that they traded for at the deadline. He hit .295 with a .342 on base percentage and a .503 slugging percentage in his last full season in 2019 with a .353 WOBA and a .118 WRC+. He had a WAR of 3 that year. And then you look at 2020, his WAR was 1.3 across the shortened season. His WOBA went down from .353 to .333. His WRC+ went down from .118 in 2019 to .109, but small sample size. And if I remember, he did not get off to the best of starts when he first came to the Marlins. Overall, though, you look at the defense, he was worth 5 outs above average in 2020, showing he can still play center field at 32 years old. I think he's going to have a very solid season for the Marlins. I wouldn't be surprised if he was their all-star, unless one of those pitchers gets that nod. But I compare him to Bryce Harper, and I'm sorry, I have to give Philly the nod and say the Marlins have the worst outfield in this division, although they have some talent, and that's where we will end this by talking about Adam Duvall really quick, because this is a guy that in 2020 was very good with the Braves. He had a .532 slugging percentage, .348 WOBA, and a .116 WRC+. He's about a league average defender out in the outfield. Going to play right for the Marlins. It's a tough outfield, to be honest, for that group to play. I don't see any really outstanding athlete they have there. I mean, Marte is very good, but he's in his 30s. So it's a lot of ground for those guys to cover, but you look at everything put together, and I think the Marlins have a good enough outfield that it's not going to hold them back. There's just a lot of great outfields in this division, and that's why I have them fifth and the Phillies fourth. Now, the top three will include the Mets, but where will they fall in that group? You'll find out in just a minute. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football might be over, but we have the NBA in full swing. March Madness is here with college basketball, and don't forget about the NHL. BetOnline has real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. They have you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Now, we've been telling you about Built Bars for some time because it is really the best tasting protein bar on the market, as they come low in calorie, low in sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber, yet still taste amazing as they're covered in 100% chocolate. But now it is time to find out which Built Bar is the best, as it's Built Bar Madness. That's right, just like the March Madness tournament in college basketball, there is a bracket going on for the best Built Bar, and today's matchup is coconut almond versus peanut butter brownie. Gotta say, I'm not a big coconut fan, so I would vote for peanut butter brownie, but that's just me. If you want to vote, go to BuiltBar.com or to Built_bar on Twitter. And remember to use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKED15. To get 50% off your next order at BuiltBar.com, and check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. Now let's talk about the final three teams here. The Mets, the Nationals, and the Braves. I'm not going to start this in any specific order, but let's talk about the Nats. Juan Soto is an unbelievable hitter. I was amazed looking at his career numbers that he has a 405 WOBA for his career and a 152 WRC plus. That is elite offensive production. He has not been adding much of any production defensively, yet his career WAR through 313 games, which essentially amounts to two full seasons, although of course that was spread out over 3 years, has been 11, a WAR of 11. Now you look at some of his defensive metrics. In 2020, he was in the 74th percentile when it comes to outfielder jump. When it came to outs above average, he was in the 13th percentile. So I believe that because of that good jump he gets as he develops later in his career, maybe he will become closer to a league average defender out there. But offensively, again, I already said it in the first segment or at the top of the show, I would not be surprised if Juan Soto, or I would maybe argue that Juan Soto could be the best hitter in this division and one of the best in baseball. I'd really have to think about it to talk about the other divisions, the other hitters around the league. But Juan Soto is just amazing. And if you don't agree with me, tell me how you feel when he steps into the box against a Mets pitcher, because I know he strikes fear into all Mets fans' hearts. Now, the complete opposite of Soto is Victor Robles, a guy who's not a great hitter. In 2019, he had .255 with a .326 on-base percentage and a .419 slugging percentage with a .317 WOBA and a .92 WRC+. And that's the best he's ever done offensively. In 2020, you can just look at WRC+. It was 65. So he was well below a league average hitter. Was below league average hitter in 2019. But because he is so elite defensively, leading the league in outs above average in 2019 with 22. I was worth 3 outs above average in 2020. The Nationals are okay with him out in center field because he is so elite on defense that they will accept him being a subpar offensive player. If he gets close to league average, they will be happy. On the other end of the spectrum again, you got Schwarber, who is essentially Dominic Smith, but not as good of a hitter, in my opinion. Now, he had 38 home runs in 2019. Dominic Smith has not done that. In that season, he had a .357 WOBA and a .121 WRC+. But we saw the numbers drop off in 2020, and that's why the Chicago Cubs ultimately non-tendered him, as he had a .307 WOBA and a .91 WRC+. When you're talking about a quote-unquote outfielder, really converted catcher, who should be a DH, who's been worth minus 33 outs above average since the metric has been recorded, you need him to be elite offensively to counteract that bad defense, and he just has not been quite good enough offensively to accept that glove. And that's kind of the same boat the Mets are in with Dom, where they need him to, for one, improve defensively, but two, really bring some huge value offensively. So that's where the Nationals are. It's really buoyed by Soto's offense and Robles' defense, but that still gives them one of the better outfields in baseball. You go to the Braves. We have the center field conundrum. Already talked about this. Is it going to be Christian Pache or is it going to be Ender Inciarte? Regardless of who it is, they should have an elite Gold Glove caliber center fielder. Inciarte has won 3 Gold Gloves. You look at his career offensively, Inciarte has a .92 WRC+ and a .314 WOBA. His offense was absolutely terrible in 2020, though, which I think ultimately opened the door for Pache to get some playing time down the stretch in the playoffs there. But we'll see who gets the nod there. Really, when you're talking about the Braves, it comes down to Marcelo Ozuna and Ronald Acuna Jr. Ozuna in 2019 had 29 home runs and 80 RBIs. And the reason I mentioned that is because that was over 130 games. In 60 games in 2020, he had 18 home runs and 56 RBI. He was on a different planet last year as the Braves' primary DH. He hit .338 with a .431 on base percentage and a .636 slugging percentage. His WOBA was .444. He had a .179 WRC+. and he produced the exact same WAR in 2020 as he did in 2019 of 2.5. Now, quite honestly, because he didn't have to play defense in 2020, his WAR was not negatively affected by what he does defensively because he was worth minus 11 outs above average in 2019. That certainly would make him less valuable to the Braves, and I think we're only going to see more bad defense as he enters his 30s. But this is a guy that just won a Silver Slugger. He was sixth in the voting for MVP. His teammate Freddie Freeman won the award. So I look at Ozuna and I say, what is he going to give them defensively? But is it going to matter when you have Enciarte or Pache? I'm sure Enciarte, if he's not starting, will be replacing Ozuna late in games. And you have Acuna out in right field that might be able to mitigate that bad defense. So then you got Acuna. Just like Soto, ironically, they've both played 313 career games. Acuna has not been quite as good offensively with a 382 WOBA and a 137 WRC+. But because of his defense, he's been more valuable according to WAR with 11.7 wins above replacement. That is very, very strong for a player who has yet to play 350 games in his career. In 2019, he was almost the fifth player in MLB history to be in the 40-40 club, and that's 40 home runs and 40 stolen bases. The other four players are Jose Canseco, Barry Bonds, Alex Rodriguez, and the surprising one, Alfonso Soriano, as a National in 2006. He was three steals away in 2019 from being in the 40-40 club, and it was a hamstring or a quad. He hurt his legs down the stretch, and they rested him for the playoffs that year. Otherwise, he would have gotten it. So that is a player that definitely has the potential to be the best all-around player in the division. He hasn't really completely, blown away the metrics defensively. He hasn't had one of those seasons like a Victor Robles where he's just been otherworldly, but he's still a very good defender that has that potential in him. So I look at the Braves, I look at the Nationals. I have to give the Braves an edge. Do I have the Braves number one? Do I have the Braves number two and the Mets number one? Do I have the Nationals number two, the Mets three? Well, here's my answer. Offensively, the Mets had the best outfield in this division. Now the question is, can that offense overweigh the defense? And that is where I had a hang up. And that's why I have the Braves number one, the Mets number two, and the Nationals number three. But you go to the offense, and on last week's Division Day episode with Dylan Short, I said that the Mets had the potential to have three outfielders with a 140 WRC+. The reason I said that, you have Michael Conforto, whose career WRC+ is 127, but last year it was 157, albeit in a shorter sample size. But I think he can find some middle ground there and get close to 140. His WOBA last year was 401. Again, don't know if he'll quite hit that way over a full season, but his career WOBA is 358. So if you meet somewhere in the middle, end up in the 380s, that's very solid offensively, well above average. You go to Brandon Nimmo, his career WOBA is 365, career WRC plus 133, but in 2020, he had a 387 WOBA and a 148 WRC plus. Now you'll say, is that a fluke? Shortened season? Can Nimmo do that again? Well, in 2018, his best season, he produced near identical numbers, a 385 WOBA and the same 148 WRC+. So to me, I believe Nimmo can be that guy again. Finally, you have Dom. In 2019, he had a 368 WOBA and a 132 WRC+. In 2020, after hitting 316 with a 377 on base percentage and a 616 slugging percentage, he produced a ridiculous 412 WOBA and a 164 WRC+. Will he do that again over a full year? Probably not. But again, if you meet somewhere in the middle from what he did in 2019 and what he did in 2020, that is where I believe the Mets could have three outfielders with WRC pluses in the 140s, which would make them maybe the best outfield in this division, but it's tough to count on that level of production. And we also have no idea what Dom's going to look like in left, what Nimmo's going to look like in center. We believe that Conforto can be at least average, if not slightly above average, out in right field. But we just have to watch and see how that all plays out. So with that being said, again, final rankings. Braves 1, Mets 2, Nationals 3, Phillies 4, and Marlins 5. As we go through the weeks leading up to opening day, again, we'll go through starting pitching, bullpens, infield, bench, and backstop. And then we will finally compile it all together and find out which team is set to be the favorites heading in to 2021. Anyway, that'll be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. And don't forget, Wednesday is the division crossover day across the Locked On MLB network. And we will be crossing over with Locked On Nationals. So make sure you tune in for that.